Too many crazy people in one room, man. I'm Josh. I'm an alcoholic. What's going on? I did this last year, so I'm like, I got a resentment towards Blair for asking me, but it's all good. I'll talk to my sponsor about it. Man, what it was like. I'm one of the few rare born and raised South Tampa natives. This is where I'm from. This is home. Probably won't ever leave, but never say never, I guess. I don't know. Growing up, it was a little odd. I come from a very alcoholic family. My mom's very a hard drinker. My dad is also a hard drinker. Family full of potheads, you know, just bad situations. But I remember growing up that everybody was always drinking, and I didn't really had a care for it at all. Like, I was just a kid, you know. It never really dawned on me that I would be here at my age in an AA meeting. But, you know. Growing up through high school, I met a bunch of kids. We kind of took juvenile delinquency to a whole nother level in South Tampa. We partied way too much. I remember kind of jumping over the place. I'm nervous. Sorry. I remember my first time I had a beer. It was with my dad. He was at a friend's house, and I was swimming in their pool, and they were getting hammered. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, I had the tendency to say, "Can I try that?" And my dad's like, "No, you're not drinking any beer." I was like, "Okay." But his friend was like, "No, wait, this might be interesting." So they flipped the coin, and they said, "Heads, you're going to drink it. Tails, we'll leave you alone." And I'm like 12, I think. I'm like 11, 12 years old. And I remember that I drank it, and I actually thought it was delicious. Beer hit me quick like that. I was like, this is some tasty stuff. Where can I get some more? And that kind of just started the whole teenage partying out, acting out. I pretty much would be gone for the time I put my mom through hell. I would like just be gone for days at a time, wondering where I was. And I wasn't even far because I never left the neighborhood. Like, I was always like in the same like area. I grew up with a good buddy of mine. He's in the room as well. We've been best friends since like 14 years now, and we did everything together, and I mean everything together. And when we would drink together, because we both felt like, I felt like I never really had any other friends, but I had this one friend that just could always drink as much as I can. And so we kind of did that for a very long time, just going back and forth. I was just a lost kid, like truly, honestly, to get down to the bones of it. I was a lost kid, didn't know what to do with my life. I was very lazy, very disobedient, very defiant. And then it got to the point where I would be 18 and 19, which is what I was, and I got a little out of control, and I had no place to go. And I remember my mom and my brother were moving from one house to another house, like down the street, and they didn't want to take me with them. And I'm like, well, I'm your son. How are you just going to abandon me? You know, you get all those issues going on. So what happened was, we don't care. Like, my mom said she was done with me because I was doing nothing with my life. I dropped out of school when I was like 16, you know, didn't really work. I would work, but I was the typical non-functioning alcoholic. I would call out, I would leave, I wouldn't show up. I mean, I had at least 10 jobs in like 2 years. It was ridiculous. And but I remember that day when she said that I couldn't move in with them, and my dad kind of had his own addictions as well, so he didn't help me out much, but he did help. So they moved everything out of the house, and I'm sitting there with an air mattress, a boom box, and my dad buys me a 2-liter of Mountain Dew, a bag of Doritos, a loaf of bread, and like a gas station 10 slice of like ham. And that was it. And I'm sitting there in a house all alone, 18, and they're like, in 2 days, the electricity is going to be shut off. Do what you want. And luckily, a couple friends came to the rescue, and I ended up staying with them. I lost a job working with them, so they kicked me out of their house. So what I ended up doing was going over to Riverview for this Lighthouse Revival Center program. It was kind of like a faith home. They took in people off the streets and whatnot. I thought I was just going to go there for 30 days and, you know, get my act together. And my dad just drops me off there, and I'm sitting there talking to the guy, and he's like, well, I'm just going to be here for 30 days, and then I'm out. And he's like, this is an 18-month program. I was like, what? 18 months? Yeah, I'm not going to make that. I ended up staying there for like 6 months, though. It was kind of cool. That was like the first like interval of sobriety for me. I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. So I left the program because I got kicked off the praise team because I was a drummer. And I was like, okay, well, if I can't play music anymore, I'm tired of this God stuff, I'm out. So I walked down the street, came back home to South Tampa, came back to my friend's house who kicked me out to begin with. They had no idea. Nobody knew where I was. I was, like, gone for, like, 7 months. And then when I came back, everybody was in open arms. And then I was 19, and I was able to go to a bar because I remember when I got out, I was like, man, I want to get hammered. So I go to a bar, and I meet a woman, a girl. And she was a friend from high school as well. And one thing led to another, and we ended up having a kid together. I have a beautiful 4-year-old daughter who lives in Lakeland with her. And that was a rough time for me as well, because when I was sitting there trying to, I remember when I moved in with her, she would always do stuff for the baby. Like, she would, you know, make a crib and everything. She sewed her own, like, you know, mommy hand diaper bag. It was, like, beautiful. And every time she would do stuff like that, I was out of work, at my friend's house, drinking all the time. I would not do anything without a beer or a drink in my hand. Nothing. If I was going somewhere, there better have been beer there. If I was coming home, I hope I had money to buy beer. And that was pretty much it. Excuse me. And I remember that her stepfather kicked me out again for not working because I was, you know, not the best house guest, I guess. And I remember he kicked me out because I didn't, like, mow his lawn right. It was kind of weird. It was like, there was no lightning. You could have mowed the grass. You're out of here. I was like, whatever. But we ended up going to Lakeland where a friend was, and we stayed there. And that was when my alcoholism, again, kind of got out of control. And she said she wanted nothing to do with me. I was like, well, fine, be that way. And I left. I remember getting the call that, Erica went into the hospital and that she was having the baby. And I was like, okay, cool. My dad drives me, we go to Lakeland, I go into the hospital, and I walk into a room, it's Erica in the bed in labor, her mother, her grandmother, her great-great-mother, and her best friend. I am in a room full of women who hate my guts. And all I can think about was, you know, I gotta be here. No, it's my kid. And her friend got in my face, because I asked the nurse, so how many people can stay with her if it's an overnight thing? And they're like, well, only one person can stay here. I'm like, well, that'll be me. I'm the dad. So, and her friend gets in my face, like, I took the night off to be here with her. And I'm like, I don't remember being your kid. So I stepped outside to smoke a cigarette and, like, take a breather. And, like, when I walked in, it was her mom with, like, 3 security guards. And she's like, go. And I caused a big scene. And I was like, tell her to call me and let me know, like, she doesn't want me here. And she called me, and she said, just go. I was like, all right. So that was that. So I went home, bought a 4-pack of Budweiser. And when my daughter was being born in this world, I was getting drunk. That was kind of that still didn't wake me up. This went on. It was a constant battle, constant struggle for a couple more years after that. You know, it was always the same thing. I just didn't care about life anymore. I was always depressed. I'm like, why is all this stuff happening to me? And then I got a call one day from a friend that another friend from high school unfortunately got ran over on Gandy by a tanker truck. And she lost her life. And we went to the funeral. And that's where I got this remember wristband. I've had it on since the funeral for somehow. I don't know. I don't know how it's not broken yet, but... And when I did that, her boyfriend at the time, who, it was her boyfriend when she passed away, was like, I'm going to an AA meeting, dude, because he also had kind of an addiction. And I was like, all right, dude, I'll go with you. And I went to Red Door, and I just remember sitting there, and it was like that first AA meeting, and it was like, okay, what's going on here? And it was one of those moments where, like, everybody who spoke was, like, saying something about me. I was like, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I was that guy. I was like, that happened to you, too? Cool. And so I ended up doing the program, and my friend ended up going back out. And I got a sponsor. I ended up going with a great bunch of guys. I kept just hanging around positive people because I was at the point where, like, if I keep drinking, I'm going to go down in flames, man. There was nothing for me. There's nothing for me out there. Like, seriously. It was a bad place. I never wrecked any cars, never got arrested or anything like that. My stuff was all internally, all mental, like just insanity. And I remember that after about gathering about 5 months of sobriety, I was working at CVS down here. And I don't know if you've been to that Soho area, but it's quite a view. There's bars everywhere, you know, there's people coming in and waste all the time. And I had that thing in my head where, like, I really miss this, kind of. So I was like, all right, I stopped calling my sponsor, stopped doing what he said, got in a kind of, sort of, whatever relationship in early sobriety, if you get a chance to do that, pass on that. And that kind of messed me up a little bit, and, like, I just remember just, you know, to hell with it, you know, forget these people. And when I was out there, it got 10 times worse than it ever was before. I mean, 10 times worse. And I remember because I worked at, because it's Soho, it's my neighborhood. So, like, a lot of the people in AA like to hang out there. So I saw so many people from AA when I was drinking. They would all come up to me and, like, say the same thing. Hey, Josh, how you doing? Are you sober? And I'm like, get away from me, dude. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to look at you. Nothing. Leave me alone. Leave me to my own demise. Go be happy, whatever you people do. And then all of a sudden, I remember it was Christmas time that just passed, and I was at a friend's house. I know it's AA, but I ended up doing stuff that I've never done before. I thought I was doing cocaine, turned out to be meth. So it's Christmas Eve, and I'm at my friend's house, wasted out of my mind with my friend who's also in the rooms, thank God, and I'm snorting meth. It's kind of when you look in the mirror and you're just kind of like, something's wrong here. And I remember Christmas Day, I was just puking my guts out. I fell asleep the entire time. My mom and dad were hammered, having fun. Let's open up presents. And I'm like, I just want to go to bed. That was a real dark turning point for me. It was right then and there, because after Christmas, like another month went by. And then when February hit, I got really drunk at a bar, and I went home, and I still had my AA big book there. And I remember I took it, and I threw it in the trash, and I went and passed out. Then I woke up to go puke. And then the big book was sitting there in the trash, and I got it out of the trash can, and I fell asleep, and I cuddled up to my big book like a little teddy bear. And I woke up like, ah, and like I was just like, maybe I should go to an AA meeting. So I did. It was February 20th. I went to the noon midday matinee, hungover. And so far, I haven't picked up any white chips since then. And I'm really grateful to be back, because when I came back at the time period when I was seeing everybody, that I realized people actually do care. People really do care about you even when you leave. And that I would shun people away. It was like, you know, I'm sitting there getting mad at all these people. It's like, remember that time so-and-so bought you lunch? Remember when that dude gave you a ride when nobody else would take you? Remember when that guy, like, gave you $80 to get a pair of shoes for your new job? Like, all that stuff started coming back in my head, and I was just like, I'm so glad that I came back, because I have no idea what would have happened to me if I'd have kept going the way I was going. My family's still very alcoholic. I pray for them every night, and it's a rough environment. Hopefully I get out of there soon. It's kind of the goal right now. But I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be a part of this fellowship. My friend who I grew up with for like 14 years is also on the program. I'm so grateful for that as well. He's like my best friend. And I left a whole bunch of stuff out, but like that's pretty much the bones of my story. I'm a drunk. I'm stupid. And I need help. And that's why I'm here. And for any newcomers that are in the room, I remember when I first came in, I was just like, I just want to find my smile again. Well, I can say I'm smiling today. So, thank you.